Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
I want to invite you to go ahead and grab your copy of God's Word this morning. Join me once again in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, as we continue working through our series called Seven Signs, we've been looking at miracles that Jesus performed, that John records in his gospel account of Jesus' life and ministry, miracles that point to the reality that Jesus is the Son of God and that salvation can only be found in Him. That's what we've been working our way through since the beginning of the year, and we will continue on this morning in John chapter 8, verses 31 through 59 in a message entitled, Set Free. And so this morning, I want to read for us the text, and let's worship the Lord through His Word today. John writes in verse 31 of chapter 8, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, 'If you abide in My Word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered Him, 'We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?' And Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill Me because My word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with My Father, and you do what you have heard from your father.' And they answered Him, 'Abraham is our father.' And Jesus said to them, 'If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill Me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did.' And they said to Him, 'We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God.' And Jesus said to them, 'If God were your Father, you would love Me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of My own accord, but He sent Me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear My word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in Him. And when He lies, He speaks out of His own character, for He is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe Me. Which one of you convicts Me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe Me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God.' The Jews answered Him, 'Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?' And Jesus answered, 'I do not have a demon, but I honor My Father, and you dishonor Me. Yet I do not seek My own glory. There is one who seeks it, and He is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps My word, he will never see death.' The Jews said to Him, 'Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps My word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be?' And Jesus answered, 'If I glorify Myself, My glory is nothing. It is My Father who glorifies Me, of whom you say, He is our God. But you have not known Him. I know Him. If I were to say that I do not know Him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know Him, and I keep His word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see My day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Father, we ask this morning that as we study your word, you would open our eyes that we would be able to see, that you would open our ears that we would be able to hear, and that you would open our hearts and our minds that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit this morning. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Now, as we prepare to go into the text this morning, let me say to you, you may hear some music overhead. How many of you hear that? It's not our fault, I promise you on that. We found out this morning that the school has changed some things around. All of it's run downtown, so I have background music as I preach this morning. All the more reason we need our own facility. Amen, right? Strategic this morning, right, church? Strategic. So if you hear Mozart in the background, just know God gave him all of his talent, okay? And here we go this morning in John chapter 8, verses 31 through 59. The message entitled Set Free. If you're taking notes this morning, here's the main idea that I want you to write down. Authentic faith in Jesus leads to everlasting freedom. Authentic faith in Jesus leads to everlasting freedom. As we look at the text this morning, Jesus is going to do something that all of us learned how to do in school. He is going to compare and contrast two ideas. Now go back in your mind, remember doing that in school where you would take a story and they would tell you, now compare and contrast these two characters or these two stories. Look at what this one says versus what the other one says. And as we look at the text this morning, we're going to look at two separate realities. Jesus is going to describe two separate people. Those who he's going to identify who abide in his word, and then those who choose not to abide in his word. And so as we look at the text this morning, we're going to see Jesus in verses 31 and 32 describe for us what those who abide in his word do. So notice here what Jesus says on the back end of verse 30 that we covered last week, where it said many believed in him, in Jesus, as he proclaimed to them that he was the light of the world. The text says many believed in him. And we may be tempted to think that that was authentic faith, that they truly placed their trust and faith in Jesus and what he was teaching and what he proclaimed. But we're going to find out quickly that that's not the reality. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word." Now, just to ask the question this morning, what word is Jesus talking about? Well, if you back up just a little bit and remember, as we started in John's gospel in chapter 1, John said that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word took on flesh and came and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the Word. And as the Word, he is proclaiming with his lips, as we've been listening and watching him teach, as we've been seeing him heal people, and we'll get next week to his sixth sign of healing, we're going to see that Jesus constantly is proclaiming the truth that he is the Son of God, he is the Savior, that salvation can only be found in him. And so as Jesus teaches to these people today, he's saying to them, if you believe my word, that word that I've proclaimed to you, that I have been sent from the Father, that I am the Son of God, if you believe and abide in my word. This is not just what we would term mental assent, meaning that you just mentally say, well, I believe that this is true. In fact, faith is belief plus action associated with it. So when you came in this morning, you believed that the chair, pew, table, whatever we call these, all the more reason, right, church? Amen. We believed when we walked in that these would hold us up when we sat down in them. But faith was when we actually sat down in the seat. Belief plus action associated with it. And so here, these people, the Jews in verse 30, believed mentally. Maybe Jesus really is who he says he is. Maybe he really is the Son of God. But they didn't couple that with action, as we're going to see here in the text. But Jesus says, if you abide in my word, listen to this, you are truly my disciples. So those who abide in Jesus' word, those who place their faith and trust in the reality that Jesus is the Son of God, that he did step foot out of heaven and come to this earth, take on skin, the very God-man in the flesh standing before them, that he went to the cross to pay our debt of sin, that after he died on the cross, he was placed in a tomb and he rose from the dead, as we celebrated last Sunday on Easter and as we celebrate every Sunday that we gather together. Jesus here says, if you abide in that truth, in my word, you are my disciples. Notice verse 32. And it follows, if you abide in his word, that you're truly his disciples, you will actually know the truth. Now, he's going to contrast that here in just a little bit. But just pause on that for a second and think, if you're here this morning, you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, you truly are one of his disciples. The reality is, the text says this morning that you will know the truth. You know the truth. The truth proclaimed in God's word. As we gather every single Sunday, that's what we spend our time doing. Opening up the scriptures, asking, what is the truth that is proclaimed in God's word? And how does that truth apply in my life? As disciples, true disciples, Jesus says we will know the truth. Notice this. And the truth will set you free. If you're a follower of Jesus here this morning, you are free. You have experienced the freedom that only can be found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to notice here in just a little bit what we've been freed from. Jesus is going to describe that for us in just a little bit. But if you're here this morning and you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, marinate over the next verses that we cover this morning on the reality that if you've placed your faith and trust in him for salvation, you are truly his disciple and you know the truth, and the truth has set you free. Now, what's the other side of this? What's the compare and the contrast here? Notice verse 33. They answered him. That's the Jews who were hearing him teach this, who had mentally thought, well, maybe Jesus really is the Messiah. Maybe he is the Savior that we've been looking for. They said, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Now, notice what they did here. They heard what Jesus said, and a red flag went up in their mind, and they said, well, hang on just a second. We're not enslaved to anyone. We are children of Abraham. We have the national identity. We are God's people. God has blessed us as a people. That's who we are. How in the world can you say that we have been enslaved? That makes no sense. Now, here's the funny thing. They actually were enslaved. They were under Roman rule and authority in this moment. They were up under Rome's thumb. It's the whole reason that many of the Jewish people were looking for a Messiah, because they thought the Messiah would actually deliver them from the bondage of being under Roman rule and authority. And yet they look and they say, here, we're offspring of Abraham. When you think about that, the reality is they're looking and saying, our national identity, our cultural identity trumps our spiritual identity. Now, hear me this morning. I am incredibly thankful to be an American. I'm incredibly thankful to have been born in this country. I'm incredibly thankful for the freedoms that we enjoy. I'm thankful for the men and women who serve to make that a reality for us day in and day out. I am thankful for where I'm from. But hear me in this. My cultural identity as an American is secondary to my spiritual identity as a Christian. Because this world is not our home as believers. We're simply passing through. We are strangers and aliens on this planet because we are longing for a new home. A home where Christ sets up rule and reign for all eternity. That is where we are heading. But here, these Jews said, what do you mean we've been enslaved? Don't you recognize that we're offspring of Abraham? So Jesus answered them in verse 34, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Notice Jesus says, I know that you are offspring of Abraham. Here's the problem. Yet you seek to kill me. Because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. In this moment, Jesus speaking to these Jews recognizes very clearly that they are rejecting his word. They're not receiving his word. They have not placed their faith and trust in him, believing that he is the Son of God who can save them from their sin. In fact, they want to debate Jesus. And whereas if we abide in Jesus' word, we're truly his disciples, he contrasts that with those who reject his words, who he says here are slaves to sin. Now he's looking at these Jews and he's saying to them, you want to claim being offspring of Abraham, here's your true identity, you are slaves in your sin. That's your identity. And if you're here this morning, you've never taken the step of trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, truly, the Bible tells us that is your identity today. Enslaved to sin. Notice he keeps on going. He says in verse 39, not only were they enslaved to sin, not only were they slaves in verses 34 through 38, he says in verse 39, they've also been deceived by lies. Notice what he says. They answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus had just told them, you're doing what your father wants to be done. Well, hang on just a second, they say. Abraham is our father. But Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. If you think about it, what did Abraham do? You can go back and read the book of Genesis early on and see Abraham's life lived out. But if you want to see the depths of what's going on, see Abraham's faith, his trust in the Lord, you can fast forward to Hebrews chapter 11, what we call the Faith Hall of Fame, where it says there that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham, looking forward, believing that God would send the Messiah, trusted that God would accomplish what he said that he would accomplish. And here, these Jews are claiming that Abraham is their father, and Jesus says, here's the problem. Abraham believed God. You don't. Because if you believed God, you would believe in me, because God sent me. I am his son. I am God in the flesh. Notice what he says in verse 41. You are doing the works your father did. Notice, they're claiming that Abraham is their father, and Jesus has a different idea who their dad really is. He says to them, you're doing the works your father did. They said, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. So they look and they say, Abraham's our father, but if you want to press us a little bit, we say God is our father. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he, that is the Father, sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. Notice what he follows up with. You are of your father, the devil. Shot across the bow right there, isn't it? I mean, you think about that. It's not how you win friends and influence people, is it? You're of the devil. That's who your father is, but that's exactly what Jesus says to them. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. Not only are you a child of the devil, but he says you're actually carrying out his will, what he desires to accomplish in this world, which is always to go against God's plan and God's purposes. He says here, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. There's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, I want you to notice the difference here between what Jesus says are true of his disciples, those who abide in his word, versus those who reject his word. Those who abide in Jesus' word, who are truly his disciples, will know the truth. Contrast that with those who reject Jesus' word, who are slaves to their sin, are deceived by lies. Notice that difference there. They are deceived by lies. Verse 45, but because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Not only are they slaves to sin, not only are they deceived by lies, but look at verse 47. They are in bondage instead of being free. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. But the reason why you do not hear them, listen to this, is that you are not of God. Jesus, with these Jews here, says to them, you are claiming your cultural identity, but do you realize that you're dead spiritually? I pastored for a while in what's affectionately known as the Bible Belt, where people just go to church because they go to church. That's what they're supposed to do. People are members of churches because their dad was a member of a church, and their granddad was a member of a church, and their great-granddad was a member of a church. But the reality is, that doesn't save us. Our cultural identity as Americans, even though 80-plus percent claim to be Christians, it does not save us. Every single person who has not trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior is dead spiritually. They are deceived by lies. They are slaves to sin, and they are trapped in bondage. You may be here this morning, and the reality is that describes you. You say, Michael, is there any hope? Is there any hope for that reality? If I'm here this morning, I've never trusted in Jesus as my Savior, that, as you say, I'm a slave to sin, that I'm in bondage to sin, that I don't have any freedom truly when you look at it. Yes, there is a clear answer. Believe, place your faith and trust in Jesus for salvation. Because if you trust in Him for salvation, you are truly His disciple. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The problem with the world in which we live is that too many people are in bondage. In bondage to sin, and they need freedom. And church, we have the message of freedom. I hear people constantly say, you know, gosh, it must be dull being a Christian. I mean, just, do you have any fun? Hear me. If you have ever been in bondage to something and been set free, oh, it don't get no gooder than that. Right? It doesn't get any better than that. And for us who are followers of Jesus, the Bible says we used to be slaves to our sin. We used to be deceived by lies. We used to be in bondage, but not anymore because of what Christ has done in us. So we ought to be on the front lines every single opportunity that God gives us to say to someone who says, listen, my life's a disaster. My life is a wreck. Just to say to them, you know what? I used to be there. My life used to be a disaster. My life used to be a wreck. I used to be in bondage to sin. I used to struggle with all of those things that you're talking about. But hear me. I've been set free because of what Christ has done. Now you look and you say, well, gosh, does that fix all your problems? You don't have to worry about anything after that? No! But hear me in this, Christian, this morning. The victory in our lives, though we may struggle, has already been won. The victory has already been secured. Satan is a defeated foe. There is no doubt about that, that the day is coming when Christ Jesus will split the heavens wide open and come down and set up His kingdom. What a glorious day that will be. Verse 48, the Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are Samaritan and have a demon? Remember, if you can't debate with someone, if you can't argue with someone, you just malign who they are. Malign their character. That's what they're doing here to Jesus. Now they know very well Jesus is a Jew. What's the greatest insult that you could throw at a Jew? Call them a Samaritan. That's what they do here. You're a Samaritan. And you have a demon. You're crazy. Couple that together. You're a Samaritan and you're crazy. Jesus answered in verse 49, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Christian, that is the reality for us today. We will never experience death when we've been made alive in Christ. We will die physically one day unless Jesus comes back. But we won't be dead. We'll just be getting started. Life eternal with our Savior. So the Jews in verse 52 said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, and yet you say, 'If anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death.' Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" And if I'm Jesus in that moment, I just want to slap him upside the head. Say, "I've been trying to tell you all along." I mean, this banter that keeps going back and forth. The reality that Jesus is proclaiming to them is that he is the Son of God who has come into this world to save sinners from their sin. "Who do you make yourself out to be?" Verse 54, Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word." Listen to verse 56. "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day." We look at Hebrews chapter 11 and we read about Abraham and his faith that's counted to him as righteousness. His belief is that the Father is going to accomplish his plan on this planet. That the Son, the Savior of the world, is going to come. Abraham was looking forward to that day, Jesus says here. We have the privilege of looking back on that day when Jesus came and when Jesus died and when Jesus rose again. Verse 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?'" Well, let's just back up a bit. Not only had Jesus seen Abraham, if we believe John 1, Jesus created Abraham. Amen? That's what he says here in verse 58. "Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.'" Now we look at that and we think, what's the big deal? What's Jesus saying there? Well, that two words grouped together, "I am," are the two words that God the Father in the Old Testament said is my name. It says to Moses, when Pharaoh asked, "Who sent you?" You say, "I am sent you." That is the name for the Father. But here, notice what Jesus does. Jesus says to them, "Before Abraham was, I am." He is distinct from the Father in personhood, but he is the same God that we worship. We know that they were offended because it says in verse 59, they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. So, church, this morning we are reminded once again of John's purpose in writing this gospel account here. His purpose in writing is it. He wants us to understand who Jesus is. That Jesus is the Son of God. That he did take on flesh and step foot on this planet. That he did live a sinless life. That he went to the cross for us and he paid our debt of sin. That he was buried and that he rose again on the third day. And all who place their faith and trust in him
are truly His disciples, and they know His Word, and they know the truth, and the truth sets them free. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, that is you. That's you. Rest in that reality this morning, but don't, please, please don't take that for granted this morning. Because Jesus left this planet and He gave us a mission. He said to us to go into all the world and make disciples by teaching them and baptizing them. Go and share the reality of who Jesus is. Go and share the Word of Christ with them so that they too may trust in Him for salvation, so that they too may believe in Him and experience life everlasting in His name. The call for us as Christians here this morning is not to sit and to just thank God for what He has done for us and do nothing with it. It's to walk out of this room this morning, recognizing the mission field before us that God has placed us in. That there are people who are trapped in bondage out there that we interact with day in and day out. And many of them are absolutely miserable and are looking for freedom. And we as Christians have found it. So how could we be silent? How could we not share? How could we not tell them what God has done in our lives? That is our call. That's our mission. This building that's going to go down the road here is not the goal. This building is simply a tool to accomplish the goal of making disciples, of sharing the hope that we found in Christ. And so my prayer is that you will jump headlong in to helping us accomplish that, but not because that's the end goal. Because you can drop a commitment in this church today, you can drop money in this, but if you don't leave here proclaiming what Christ has done in your life, you'll miss what He's called you to do. If you're here this morning and you've never taken the step of trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I say to you this morning that what's described in this passage doesn't have to be true in your life anymore. You don't have to be a slave anymore. You don't have to believe lies anymore. You don't have to be in bondage anymore. You can be set free today. Place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and find in Him the truth that will set you free. I want to ask you to bow your heads with me this morning and close your eyes. As our worship team comes up and we transition into a time of invitation this morning, you have an opportunity to respond to the Lord in several ways. First, if you're here this morning and you've never taken that step of trusting in Jesus as your Savior, you have the chance to do that today. To place your faith and trust in Him, to believe that He is the Savior who can save you from your sins, that His death on the cross and His resurrection prove that reality. And this morning, you can experience freedom by trusting in Him. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, let's be reminded that we have the opportunity before us as we leave this gathering to share the hope that we found in Jesus Christ, to share the freedom that we found in Him with people in our community that need to know that there's hope, that need to know that there's freedom. We have an opportunity this morning to participate in a small way of moving forward and utilizing a tool that we currently don't have in a building to continue reaching this community for Christ. And maybe for you this morning, your response during this time of invitation is to come and to put a commitment card into this box up here in the front, or put a one-time offering in here, or put a commitment card of praying for moving forward this morning. Father, we ask that as we take this opportunity to respond to you, that if there's those here today that have never taken the step of trusting in Jesus as their Savior, would you help them see the hope that can be found, the freedom that can be found this morning in Christ? Help us as disciples of yours who are here to recognize the mission is not finished. We still have work to do, opportunities every day to share the freedom we found in Christ. And as we give and commit to pray and to give over this next year, Father, help us be reminded that this building will be an incredible tool for us to use to continue to make disciples in this community. So as we give this morning, help us give generously, trusting you to take what we give and do beyond anything that we could ask or imagine. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.